you know, the Lord laid on my heart a couple of weeks ago to start talking about where we found in the Revelation the seven spirits of God. And I'm teaching this because Jesus said this is eternal life, that we know the Father and the Son whom He sent. Knowing God in a deeper, more personal way is indeed the foundation of eternal life. Knowing God, and you know, I've known about God all my life, right? And I've known about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost ever since my salvation. But reading through the Scripture, I'm beginning to understand more and more every day. There's a lot more about Him than what I don't know. All right? And again, these seven spirits of God that we started talking about a couple weeks ago, we started with the fear of the Lord. Because without the fear of the Lord, you can't even begin to understand the depth of God. Amen. And even if we could understand the full depth of God, as much as we can, we'll never understand the whole of God, the fullness of God. And some folks will be able to dive a little bit deeper than others, and some folks won't. But that's okay. God will bring you. Sometimes you play in the kiddie pool for a long time. That doesn't mean that the kiddie pool's bad or the big pool's any better. They're both good. You're in the water of God. You're ankle deep, you're knee deep, you're waist deep, you're chest deep, wherever you're at. God will bring you where you need to be when you need to be there. Trust in Him. Walk by faith, not by sight. And allow Him to illuminate you as you go. These teachings about the seven spirits of God are deeper than what I can swim. All right? I'll be honest, it's more than what I can know. So I'll teach you as best I can. I'll preach these words as clear as I can. But I want to express to you that I don't know it all. And if you took all that I do know and compared it to what God does know, I would be less than one molecule floating, a split atom floating around in the universe. The magnificence of God is too wonderful for me. Today, as we're going to be talking about wisdom as a second part of God, a second spirit of God, a second depth of His love for you, that He wants you to know more about Him. Wisdom, as far as I've ever understood it, was like this. Wisdom is to be gained through experience, right? It's for great learning, or to give good judgment. To securing a sure decision. You need wisdom to secure good and righteous decision. And it's exercising something called prudence. All right, exercising prudence. We'll get into all these things as we get into this. And so the spirit of wisdom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into the Word. I gave you my idea. We're going to see what the Bible says about it. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for Your goodness and grace. Lord, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the ability to come and to speak. I thank You, Father, that You are opening up our understanding that we can know You in a more intimate way. Father, as we look into the attributes of the Most High God, speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Show us, Father, Your good love, Your righteousness, Your holiness, Lord. And if we could just grasp for a second the awesomeness of the Creator of all things, Lord. We thank You for it. We pray that You would move mighty in and on us for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, talking about wisdom, and Paul writing to the church and asking God to reveal some things about Him. And he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Now, can't you just understand that God is asking, Paul is asking to God to give something to the body of believers. Give unto you, the body of believers, the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowing of Him. Understanding this, that God is desiring to give you something. Who here wants wisdom? Not just regular wisdom, but I mean the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit wisdom. There's a different wisdom. And it comes through the revelation, the understanding, the unveiling of who God is. Again, eternal life is this, that you know God, the Father, and the Son whom He has sent. That's from Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 3. And so He's saying, this is understanding the depth of Me. This is coming to know Me a little bit better. And that you could have a wisdom that goes way beyond what the world can understand. God wants to give you a better understanding, a deeper enlightenment, I guess, is to understanding the sense and the tastes and the indwelling Spirit of God in a more intimate way. That we would have the wisdom of God given to us by the revelation and knowing Him, knowing Christ Jesus. Again, as I'm going through these things, I'm leaning on the only dictionary that really counts. Webster's 1828, I like his dictionary because he always refers to Scripture. Amen? He doesn't say the latest manuscripts say this or the fanciest words say this. He was really plain, and he says about wisdom, and this is when you go through wisdom, it's like bullet point number 4 or 5 in there. The right use of knowledge. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. The exercise of sound judgment, either in avoiding evil or attempting good. The exercise of sound judgment in avoiding evil, otherwise known as prudence. If prudence were a species, of which wisdom would be its genus. I like it. Did you understand what he said right there? If prudence, understanding sound judgment and avoiding evil, if prudence was a species, was a lifestyle of its own, was an animal that you could understand, the brain of that animal would be wisdom. All right? That's what he's saying. The wisdom is not just knowing what's right and wrong, it's knowing what to do that's right or wrong. And as he lays this out, this is spiritual wisdom. Wisdom is not simply knowing about God or knowing of God or knowing of good and evil, but it's a practice of choosing good, God's way, over evil, your flesh's way. That's deeper than I can think. Amen? Because I always thought of it much more shallow than that. But the more you think about the wisdom of God, the more you realize it's deeper than what you know. It's more than what you can understand. The Holy Spirit gives us guidance in God's will. Praise God for that. So that wisdom is the action of obedience. And where we'll start teaching today is actually from James chapter 3 and verse 17. And there's 8 particular things about wisdom that we'll try to unfold here by the grace of God. James 3 and verse 17, it says, the wisdom that is from above, all right? That's the best kind of wisdom, right? I want wisdom not from this world. I want wisdom that's from above. I want wisdom from the one who knows the beginning from the end. I want the wisdom that knows how everything started. I want that kind of wisdom. If I'm going to go to some place to be learned, I don't want to be taught by the flunky. Sorry, you guys are being taught by the flunky today. But God, the Holy Spirit, excuse me, Lord, even as I say that, that pierced my heart. Because I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit teaches you something today, it's not from me, it's from Him. Amen? So forgive me, I'm trying to make a really crude, insensitive joke. Amen? So, the wisdom is from above. He says, first it's pure, then it's peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So real wisdom has 8 benefactors to it. Real wisdom, first, it's pure. True wisdom from that comes from above, is pure. There's no falseness, there's no weird stuff in it. You don't have to strain it or filter it. It's pure. It's like pure mountain water gushing from the stream out of the very throne room of God. It's pure. And then it says it's peaceful. Real wisdom isn't trying to pick a fight with nobody. It's living with the gospel of peace and understanding that. It's gentle. Just because you know something doesn't mean that you need to show it off to people. You know? Again, this is the sword of the Spirit. This is not your personal battle axe. You can take this Bible and you can hurt people with it. When you take worldly wisdom and try to tie it into the Word of God, the pure Word of God, the pure wisdom of God, you can use this as something to destroy lives and people's lives well. Where God says, it's my scalpel. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. It's able to get to the quick of things. In fact, it's able to quicken the dead. But when I use it, and I use it in my wisdom, or I use it in worldly wisdom, it's really just a battering ram used to tear down people. That's not the wisdom that comes from God. And unfortunately, church, most Christians use this like that. I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. Yay for me, bad for you. Right? You're doing this, and you're dirty because you're doing that. That doesn't mean that you aren't, but it's not me for me to say. My job is to be gentle. My job is to walk circumspectly with God. Paul said, I become all things to all men, that I might bring some to the knowledge of Christ. Have we thought about doing that with the wisdom that God gives us? The wisdom that the wisdom to know that there's times not to say something. Wow. Did you know sometimes silence is a better answer than your opinion? Amen? Right? Oh, but I got to give my opinion on this. No, in fact, I think this isn't Scripture, but I think it ought to be. It's better to remain silent and appear fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubts. Amen? Yeah, say that again. It's established. Right, amen. And so, so often when we just try to, I'm trying to improve your life with my mess of wisdom. All we're really doing is showing how foolish we really are. Remember, the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. It's gentle. It's easily entreated. That means not stubborn-willed. Pure wisdom from God is not stubborn. Sometimes when we get the worldly wisdom, or we get to thinking stuff, or we've been taught something for so long, we get stubborn in that. I said a prayer when I was 4 years old, I'm going to heaven no matter what. Oh, man, right? I'm stubborn in that. I won't move from it. Even when you see that the Scripture doesn't teach that, it doesn't matter how you interpret the Scripture. I was taught that by Dr. Seuss, or I was taught that by Dr. whoever, Pastor whoever, and I believe that, so that's what makes it true. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. If it's not true, it's not true. All right? If it is true, it is true. And that's the difference between real wisdom and worldly wisdom. All right? But it's not stubborn. See, true wisdom is always able to learn. It's always able to stretch, to go beyond the boundaries of what you think you know. Because again, we don't know things like God. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are way outside of what we can do. He's perfect. You ain't. Right? We are not perfect. We're not right in any way outside of Christ. And then again, it's full of mercy. Oh man, if we really had the wisdom of God, how merciful would we be? Yeah, you know, I think that we're missing some stuff in the church today because of the lack of the right use of the knowledge of God. There's not much mercy left. And so, has good fruit. And we're talking about good fruit today. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, gentleness. Those things, the fruit of God that really produces life. Fruit of God that will bring you from the depths of hell to the throne room of heaven. Good fruit. Without partiality. I like that one too. The true wisdom of God doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, white, black, tall, short. None of that matters. Because God is no respecter of people. He really doesn't care what your status is in this world. There's only two kinds of people in the whole world, and that's the saved and the lost. Those who are sealed in Christ Jesus and those who are not. And it matters not what you think, because the fact of the wisdom of the matter is there's either one or the other. There is no midway. There is no partiality. There is no purgatory if you're brought up in that understanding of Scripture. Either you're in Christ or you're out of Christ. And understanding that God's not partial with His wisdom. And it's without hypocrisy. I like that one the best, I think. Because stop acting like you know something. How often do we think, well, I've been studying the Bible for 15 years. I don't need to know nothing else. Or, I use this Bible and I walk in it. It's my way. I'm perfect. Now you little people down there, you know, you're not like I am. Praise God you're not like I am, right? Because you don't know what goes on behind closed doors in this mind of mine. You don't know the anger that I deal with. You don't know the vile thoughts that run through my mind. You don't know the vile thoughts that run through my hands. See, pure wisdom doesn't have any of that acting that I'm better than you are, or that you're better than someone else. And understand this, that there's more than one type of wisdom. James gives the parameter of godly wisdom, pure, peaceful, gentle, not stubborn-willed or entreated. It's full of mercy. It's good. It produces good fruit and partiality and is without hypocrisy. That's what godly wisdom is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19 says, worldly wisdom is this, it's foolishness with God. Amen. Think of the foolishness of man. Some of the foolishness of man is you can be whatever gender you want to be. That's foolish. You were made by an absolute mistake, a comet streaked across the universe and some stardust fell down. And over a million, billion, gazillion, trillion years, you came out of a monkey. That is stupid. All right? That's stupid. We know from Hebrews 11, isn't it? That we know that the world was framed. Let me go to that scripture because I want to say it right. It's in my mind. But it needs to be from the Word of God because I don't know if y'all know it or not. My mind's kind of twisted from moment to moment. Verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things that are seen are not made by things which do appear. Wow. All right, scientists will tell you that there's a big bang. You know, two asteroids from somewhere outside of our universe came and they collided together. And all of the earth and the sun and the universe and the moon and the stars, they were all made from that. Foolish. That's foolishness. That is just so stupid. And if you don't think it's so stupid, get you a stick of dynamite and put you a watch in it and blow it up and see if it comes back together. Right? It's just, you can't do it. Any explosion doesn't make things. It divides stuff. I've never seen an explosion or collision. Two cars driving down the road and they hit head on. And all of a sudden a brand new car comes out of the wreck. No, it does not happen that way. That's stupid. That's the wisdom of man. Where God says that the world was made out of things that don't even belong to this world. The substance came from outside because the world were framed by the Word of God. God spoke, and it was. Now, that's God's wisdom. Man's wisdom is not that way. Again, as the Scripture goes on, and he quotes from Job here, it is written that he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. I like that. I do. Those real smart scientist people, Fauci, we'll go to him right start with. Fauci, all right? Oh, yeah, he is so smart. He is just like he knows every virus that ever lived, and he is just so cool. He knows how to take test tubes and shake them together, and soda pop comes out of them. Oh, he's just the greatest. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. And anybody who tells you that you can wear a mask, a little bitty paper mask over your face, and you can be safe from God. Sorry about that, son. I know that you're being forced by things. But I'm telling you, that does not help you, nor does it help anybody else. All right? And I'm not trying to put anybody down for that. But I'm saying God is sovereign. Wearing a mask or not wearing a mask does not stop one person from dying or make one person living. Who's sovereign? God.
And there is not one person that has ever died outside of his time or her time to die. Period. All right? He's sovereign. So whether it's a virus or whether it ain't a virus, whether it's a man-made thing or something that dropped out of a bat, which is foolish, right? God's sovereign.
In those things, where as those things are being understood, he said, and he takes them in their own craftiness. I like that because of the things that we just talked about. This super duper smart scientist is being taken in his own craftiness because they forgot to mash delete on their email. Okay, now I'm no computer guy. I really ain't. I don't know a lot about computer stuff, but I do know that you can delete things. Or actually, you shouldn't put anything in print that you don't want to be seen. That's the smarter thing to do, especially in this case, because as my wife would tell you, nothing's ever deleted off of the internet. But that's beside the stuff. But he takes the wise in their own craftiness. They thought they were being crafty when they sat down and planned this thing out in 2015. Now they're being taken in their own craftiness. And again, he quotes Psalm 94 and 11 in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are vain. Oh, when you think that you're so smart, God looks at you and says, you're so vain. You're so shallow. You think you know all this stuff. You don't know nothing. And coming to that understanding that we don't know anything outside of the authority and the wisdom of God, that's where wisdom actually starts to grow. When you finally realize you don't know anything. You know when I really started learning stuff? Is when I stopped listening to the teachers and started reading the Word. Amen? Amen? Because when I was listening to the teachers, I thought that I could say the prayer and go out and beat little baby seals in the head. You know, and be okay. That's fine. That's okay. That's cool. No problem. You said the prayer. You're done. And don't worry about the end time stuff because you're going to be walking along someday and you're just going to float away. And your clothes are going to float to the ground and you're going to be chained, all that. And then I read the scripture and I said, how foolish is that? That doesn't line up with God's word. See, they're vain. They're thought in their own understanding. So now we understand that there's a greater wisdom than what mankind teaches. Can we agree with that? That there's a greater wisdom than what your professors can teach, than what the doctors can show you. That there's more to be known than what all of the books on the earth can teach you about. Amen. Amen. Except for the written word of God. Except all the man-written books in the world, they might as well be Pinocchio and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. You know? There's not any good stuff that comes out of that. I mean, it might help you in some things, but it's not really great. Now, come with me as we try to examine the depths of the spirit of wisdom of God. Now, again, I gotta express this more and more. This is me trying to talk about the wisdom of God is like me trying to swim to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. What's that? The deepest trench in the world. Is that called Mariana Trench? Yeah. And I think that it's, I looked it up this morning, it's 36,070 some odd feet deep. Right? That's pretty deep. Now, I know in my own swimming ability, I can dive down about 15 feet. Not without jumping off anything, like standing still and swimming to the bottom. I know I've done it to a 12-foot pool, but that's about all I could do, 3 more feet. I'm giving myself 3 more feet because I just think I'm that kind of a guy. Right, exactly. It's like this. Me trying to explain the wisdom of God is like that. All right, the Mariana Trench is 30,000, 36,000 feet deep, and I can dive down 15 feet at the best. The wisdom of God is much deeper than that, and the most I can dig down into it is this much, at the most. So as we unveil this, we're going to start using Scripture because it's way smarter than me. Amen? And so as we get into this, let's look. And so I use that Mariana Trench because understanding without the Holy Spirit, I can't even begin, none of us can begin to understand this next spirit, this next attribute of who God is, the wisdom of God.
God grants His wisdom to whomever He calls and whoever He wishes. When God was preparing the tabernacle in Exodus 28 and 31, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures there, so if you want to flip over to Exodus 28. When He begins to get the things ready for the tabernacle in the wilderness, He starts explaining to Moses about how to do stuff or who He's going to call to do things. And in Exodus 28, verse 2, talking about just making the garments for Aaron. And He says to Moses, "Thou shalt make garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt speak unto all the wise-hearted." Now catch this, wise-hearted. Now I had to do some research on what wise-hearted was about. We're going to get back around to that in a minute. "The wise-hearted whom I," speaking of God, "have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments." That wise-heartedness are people who are willing to be used by the Most High God. He didn't choose anybody. These were the people that God had already put into them certain characteristics. They already knew how to sew, right? It didn't take somebody who didn't know how to sew at all. But He said, this person is trainable. These people that I'm going to call to make these particular garments. And if you want to know how neat those garments looked, go and read from Exodus 28 to Exodus 31. It talks about the garments of Aaron. No regular seamstress could have made those clothes. All right? And what God is saying, that these were fantastic. Right? And the best seamstress I know, Steph, the pianist, all right, and she can sew stuff. I mean, she sews stuff. You sew too? All right, y'all. Well, I don't sew. I can sew a patch on a pair of jeans. All right, that's about all I can do. I can put a button-up shirt, that type of stuff. But this was a special anointing of God, where God says, "I'm going to give them a particular wisdom that they can sew with gold, that they can sew with stones, that they can sew with different materials, and I'm going to make this garment for the glory of God that Aaron will wear when he's in my presence." So God gave them that spirit of wisdom. And again, in Exodus 31, in verses 2 and 3, and he goes, and I spoke to this to one of the folks here this morning. Exodus 31, verse 2 and 3. "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, in all things, and manners of workmanship." I'm going to go there because it says so much more about that. Now, look at what God just said. I'm going to take this guy, and he's a very particular how he points him out. Let me get his name right. Bezabiel, all right, the son of Uri, and he's the grandson of Hur, all right, and so he's this son, and he's that son, and he's from this particular tribe. So just in case there's more than one guy out of the 2 million people that came over with Moses with that same name, I don't want anyone, I want that guy, a very specific, very particular, I'm going to do something different with him. Do you know, as you come to know God, He starts pouring wisdom into you that only you can know? And He does that with your own abilities that He's already got in you, your own character, and He starts filling you with extra wisdom. Now, I don't know if this guy already knew a little bit about carpentry, but I would have to say that God gave him an extra ability in a lot of different things, and so in building stuff, and so I have filled him with the Spirit of God, verse 3, and of understanding and of knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works with gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting stones to set them, and in carving timber to work all manner of workmanship. And behold, I have given him with him, you can say that name because I cannot, the son of this other guy of the tribe of Dan. Can y'all say that for me? Okay, so the first is Obolia, and the other one, Ahishamah. Praise God for you guys. You know, because I try to bend my tongue like that, and it just gets all trapped up in my eye teeth, and I just can't see what I'm saying. And so anyhow, those two guys, they're from the tribe of Dan. And In the hearts of all these are wise-hearted people. They're wise-hearted. That wise-hearted, again, is a special thing. It's gifted artisans. They're wise-hearted. The seamstress, they were wise-hearted. They were gifted artisans. And then he says, I'm going to give them the ability to do stuff that no other human can do. Now, when you look at the woodwork that was in the temple in there, and you look at the golden arbor, it was fashioned out of a solid piece of gold. And it tells how big and how tall it was. And it had hand-carved pomegranates on it, and oil would flow through it. And then there's another special wisdom for the guys who make the oil and all that kind of stuff. And God said, I'm going to take supernatural wisdom outside of what men can think and design. And I'm going to take these folks that already have an artisan heart, already have an ability, and I'm going to anoint them with something so fantastic. You're going to see the work of God, the wisdom of God, and the workmanship of these men and women, whoever was doing the work. Do you know that the wisdom of God, when it comes on you, He will do things that you cannot do? Folks, I'm preaching. All right? I cannot do this. I can't, and I'm not going to put down my education or nothing like that. Just FYI, I got through the sixth grade barely. Barely. I failed every single test I ever took all the way through my education system. I never, ever, ever passed a single test in all of my, never have I passed a spelling test. And you can look up here and tell why. All right? Never have I ever passed a mathematical test, ever. I mean, all the way back to kindergarten. They held me back in kindergarten because I wouldn't play right with others. You know, there's no way that I can do this.
Vessels of clay.
There you go, vessels of clay. And then God takes His wisdom and He puts it on a person. Why? Because the heart of an artisan, the heart of some, God looks on the heart of the people He wants to anoint. And then when He anoints you, He calls you by name. He says, Curtis Fitz, the son of this person, the son of that person, the son of that person. I'm going to bring you up. Tom, the son of this person. Lance, the son of... All these people, Lawrence, all these, you guys, Wendy, the daughter, the son, all these people. And He knows who you are, what tribe you're from. He knows all about you. And He says, you have a special thing in you, and I'm going to explode it with my wisdom. But what you got to do to earn that wisdom, what you got to do to get that wisdom, you need to be available to understand. You got to be trainable. Because God will show you things, and amen, Lord, and He speaks to you in a still, small voice, and He explodes in your mind things you cannot think of on your own. Amen? You're studying for the next couple of Sundays. You're going through things. You think you know something. And then God says, huh, you think you know that? Let me show you some wisdom. For sure, right? And He'll bring you down a rabbit trail. And He'll bring you into a land that you have never thought of before. Right? That's the wisdom of God. That is coming to see God in a different aspect from what you've ever seen Him before. Praise God for that. And it's not the wisdom of man. See, the wisdom of man will tell you, well, you can't preach unless you go to a cemetery school. They'll tell you you can't preach unless you do this, you do that, and you've got to have all your buttons right, and you've got all these things. You got to be all prim and proper, know how to say all those hard words and stuff, or you can't preach. That's funny. He called fishermen. Right? He called fishermen regular guys. He made a tent maker one of the greatest pastors in the world. Amen? He takes regular people and does extraordinary things with them through the wisdom of God. But He's looking for those who are wise-hearted. And verse 6 there of Exodus 31, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So God's speaking to Moses, right? He says, listen, Mo, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to choose Tom. All right, I'm going to choose Joe. And Joe, he's going to come and he's going to do this thing. He's going to move in a manner he's never moved before. I'm going to make him make things for me for the glory of God. And I'm going to pour through his mind, through his body, the wisdom of the Most High God. And he's going to be able to take a solid chunk of metal and make it hollow and make it work and make it whistle and shine and glow and be glorifying to God. Wow. Joe, you're not worthy. You're not. Neither am I. But God. But God. He says, I love you where you're at. I want to magnify myself through you. That's the manifold wisdom of God. That he takes the simple things of this world to confound the wise. Yay! I'm glad I'm simple. I really am. I'm so glad I didn't go to school and get polluted by all the professors. I mean, I had to unlearn enough stuff as it was. Those highfalutin smart folks. Again, you know what I think of a PhD? It's simply piled high and deep. Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. That's not even to mention the other 230 plus times that God speaks about this particular type of wisdom. He says that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom is mentioned to perform certain tasks for the glory of God. This is why Proverbs has so much to say about wisdom. You want to know, you can know about wisdom through reading the Word of God, and you can start to understand some things about wisdom. But until wisdom lands on you, understanding about it's like, all right, I understand about how a vehicle works, or I used to. When they had carburetors. Now they don't have carburetors anymore, so I don't understand hardly anything about them. But, yeah, I knew when my 79 Ford van had a problem. And, you know, I knew how to take apart that Holley carburetor. I could put it back together. I could change the floats, stuff like that. I could do that kind of stuff. And that came from studying worldly things. Preaching and teaching and doing things of God, working for God, is very much not like putting together a Holley carburetor. Right? This is doing something outside of your ability, but you have a heart to do it anyhow. And God moves on you in such a way that he gives you wisdom to unfold certain things and make them work. Anyhow, Proverbs says in Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Amen? It is so much better to have this wisdom of God, this understanding of God, than all the riches in the world. How better is it to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? To get this wisdom, to get understanding is better than silver, it's better than gold. God desires for us to have this wisdom, but not necessarily the wisdom of this world. Remembering what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's foolishness to Him. So we need to ask for the wisdom. Do you know that you can ask God for this kind of wisdom? Because you've been born again, you've been blessed by God. Again, back in James, I got it here in my notes. Which page, though? Yeah, here we go. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, all right, let me stop right there just for a second. And we'll rest there for just 4 minutes. Do you lack wisdom? Do you want more wisdom? Well, you've got to do something. Did it say study more? All right. I want more wisdom, man. I need to cram in my books. I got to get ready for my regency test, right? I love you, sister. I had to mention that because I know God's in you. And he's doing great things through you. Amen. And so, if any of you lack wisdom, the good wisdom, who are you supposed to ask?
God.
Amen. You ask God that giveth to all men and women, all right, liberally, and abrideth not. That means he doesn't withhold anything. He doesn't withhold or reproach anything. And abrideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask by faith, not wavering. All right, catch this in your mind. I need an anointing from God to teach. I need an anointing of God to witness. I need an anointing. I need some wisdom of God. So I go to the Lord in prayer. And I come back, well, God, yeah, I know that you said if I ask, you give it, but really, I don't think you can do it. What just happened? God was about ready to dump this thing on you. God was about ready to dump this wisdom. Imagine this is God-sized can. It's really big. All right? And he's about ready to take this wisdom, this marvelous thing that he's about ready to pour out on you. And you say, yeah, you know, I don't think I can really do it. God, choose somebody else. He's looking down at me. Dude, I could have dumped this on you and you could have had more than you ever understood. But you don't want it. I'll choose somebody else. Amen. You got to step by faith. You got to believe it. You got to ask God, fill me with your wisdom. And then, as he starts doing it, you got to believe it's God that's doing it. Because, oh, this has happened to me. God starts pouring out some kind of wisdom on me, and I think I know something. And then God makes you dumber than a stick. All right. Oh, I know this. Look at me. I'm so proud. Ooh, I know how to. What's that in English where you put one letter in front of the other letter unless there's another letter in the word? Put I before Y unless there's a Z or something. What's that little line? Anyhow, as you can tell, I know it good. I'm sorry. Coming to that understanding that God wants to give you. He wants you to have his wisdom. He wants to pour it out onto you abundantly, so much more than what you can understand. He wants to give that to you. So when you ask it, you've got to believe you're going to receive it. See, it says later on in that same place, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So, all right, God, give it to me. And God starts to pour it out on you. You start getting a little bit smart. You say, oh, I know it all. God said, you're so unstable. You don't even know where the water's coming from, and you think you know how to make it work. And this happens in my life so much. I don't know about you guys. You're probably past this, all right? But I'll start doing something. Oh, I know how to do this. How many have gotten trouble saying I know how to do this? I can do this. I watch it on y'all too. Yeah. That's Southern YouTube, if you don't know. I watched it, and I can do this. Lord, forgive me. Floor installer, okay, all right, and that's what I did for years to understand the wisdom of floor installing. My journeyman was named Farrell Lolly. This guy, he was truly the best floor installer that I've worked around a lot of. This man, they used to have these competitions called Golden Touch competitions. Golden Touch is a type of tool manufacturer that used to be that would make trimmers and stair tools and kickers and stuff like that. And they'd have these competitions. He would go once a year back in the early 60s and 70s, or late 60s, early 70s, and he'd come compete. So for 5 years in a row, he was the Golden Touch champion of America. All right, this guy was really, really absolutely an excellent floor installer. There's a time we did a wraparound staircase, right? Patterned carpet, solid wool, had to be hand-stitched before it was installed. So we took it and he cut it and he laid it all out and we sewed it together upside down, never looking at it. And when you stretch the carpet, of course, it moves, patterns move. He pre-planned how it was going to stretch before we started putting it on. And as we wrapped that stairwell up and the hallway was already installed and the floor was already installed, it matched perfectly. I mean, to the thread count, perfectly. The guy was really good. I'm not that. Okay? But he had wisdom that was given to him that was beyond normal stuff. Hand sewing carpet, that's a talent all in itself. So you're a seamstress, or a tailor, of fabric stretcher. Yeah. Upholstery, that's it. So you have an idea about what that was. And so you had to be not double-minded, you had to have faith that you knew what you were doing through the power that was anointed to you. And you had to know that. Well, see, God is saying, I want to give you wisdom that's outside of your ability. I want to give you something that will... God never... Oh, thank you, Lord, for this. You know, God never gives you something that you can do. He always gives you something you cannot do. Anybody ever heard, God will never put on me more than I can bear? Well, that's not true. God will always put more on you than you can bear. God, why? Because He wants to grow you. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, you have to depend on
Him. Amen. Yeah, you got to depend on Him. You've got to hold on to who Christ is and what His wisdom is. And looking not in your abilities, but His abilities. Abraham was not able to make a nation. He couldn't even make one kid. Right? But God, you look at that, how God works, and you got to move by faith, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Unstable is the person without the spirit of wisdom. When Solomon, amen, think about this, Solomon, the smartest, most wisest guy in the world, before he was the wisest guy in the world, he prayed to God. Right? He was seeking the Lord. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Chronicles, sorry. 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And he prayed, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. And God replied to him in verse 12, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. Where did Solomon get all of his smarts from? From God. And how did he get them? He asked with a pure heart. He asked without doubting. He said, God, you gave me this position. God has called you for wherever you're at. He gave you your position. He's anointed you. He called you. He set you here. And now, in the body of Christ, you've got to ask, all right, God, I am in this body of Christ. I need wisdom to perform the task that you've called me to do. Solomon, he was going to be called to be a leader of the people, right? Like his dad was. He said, listen, God, I cannot do this. I need supernatural help. I need wisdom from you. God said, you got it. Because you did not ask for all the worldly stuff. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for horses or chariots. But you asked for me to speak to you, to show you goodness, to show you righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you. And plus you get the other stuff. You know? And think about that. When you walk in the wisdom of God, you get the other stuff too. You know, because when you really have the wisdom of God, thank you, Lord. Where does the wisdom of God even come from? What's the first part of the wisdom of God?
Fear the Lord.
Fear the Lord. Amen. The fear of the Lord. Amen. It starts there. I have Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. Read and expound is what I have on it. Don't you love that? That's all it is. Psalm chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Okay, listen to this to start with. If you would just receive the words of God and hide the commandments that He's given you. Not hide them away, but hide them in your heart. Put them in your heart. I've hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? This is Proverbs chapter 2. What, did I say the wrong? Oh, I'm so sorry. Proverbs, yeah. Actually, there's Psalm 11:10, Proverbs 1:17. I got a lot of them listed down here. But anyhow, I don't know if we'll get past chapter 2 of Proverbs. I'm sorry, because I was looking out here and you're saying, he's saying stuff that ain't in my Bible. He's wrong. Again, not my wisdom. Anyhow, Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Catch those two verses real quick. And God is saying to whoever will receive this, if you will take the words of God, if you will receive those words and hide the commandments of God within you, Remember, David said, I hide your commandments that I might not sin against you. I take your commandments, I hide them in my heart, I obey them because I fear you, I want to walk with you. And I listen to wisdom, the wisdom of God, and I apply my heart to understand. All right? Are you willing to apply your heart to what the Word of God says? Apply it. That means don't just listen to it. That doesn't mean sit here for an hour and a half as I speak to you or through Sunday school. It means taking those words and doing something with it. Applying it. Working it out. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou wilt seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. There's some steps that need to be taken here. A lot of the church in America is super ignorant. Okay? And we're way ignorant simply because we're not following what the Bible says. We're not doing what this says. All right, church, let's do this backwards. Starting in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If what? If I seek it as silver and I search for it as a hid treasure. If I really search for the wisdom of God, if I look for understanding, you'll find it. But you've got to look for it. You've got to, amen, it's in the Bible. You've got to have that heart that is desiring to know it, that desire, that fear of the Lord, as he says also. if you seek her for... verse 5 again, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you search for it with silver, if you cry after knowledge and lift your voice for understanding, if you will incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you will receive the words of God and hide the commandments in your heart, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. See, if you do these things, then you'll start to wake up. If you do these things, then you'll start to get a little bit of wisdom. When you do these things, when you fear God, when you search for it, when you strive to know Him, if you seek me, you'll find me. Amen? Church, we're supposed to be smarter than we are. But what has happened over the last 100 years in America, we've got underneath doctrines of men instead of doctrines of God. The teachings of men and the doctrines of devils instead of the doctrines of God. We've been listening to the professors. We've been listening to the TV evangelists. We've been listening to our radio and trusting what the radio says to you. I'm not saying that all the radio was bad. I'm saying most of it is. Amen. You got to strain what you're hearing on the airwaves with an ultra-fine strainer to find what truth is. Or you can turn that garbage off and read the Word of God and understand it. Amen. Apply the commandments to your heart. And then you know what? There's no strainer. You can use a sieve. Amen. You can use just a big old funnel. Just let it come on in. If you're only studying the Word of God, you're not studying what man says. You're not listening to what Pastor Curtis says. You're not listening to Dr. Seuss or whatever. You name the guy. Right? And I've listened to a lot of guys that I thought were great, the Bible Bus. What was his name? He was the first radio... J. Vernon McGee. Right. I used to... In fact, I think I still have that 8-track. Nothing to play with, but I got the 8-track. And so, of the Bible Bus, right? A year studying through the Bible. But he was a dispensationalist. Once saved, always saved. You're going to be raptured before any of this stuff ever happens. Now, a lot of the stuff that he said, I liked. But a lot of the stuff he said wasn't scriptural. And I know I can make a lot of people mad because they idolize the guy. And I could have named some more popular ones, right? Why are you picking on the dead guy?
Hey, you were there once.
Amen. Yes, I was there
once. So you understand.
Yeah.
I was there once.
Yeah, I was. And I taught things that were incorrect. And God forgive me for that.
But some was true.
Yeah. Amen.
I can speak some truth.
Yes.
And a lot of lies.
Amen. Go ahead, man.
Almost like that. Your full of man's wisdom, you know, it's right up to the top, you know, and God wants to pour his wisdom on you. It's just going to hit surface level.
Yeah.
If you're not going to contain it.
Thank you for that. Absolutely. If you are filled with man's wisdom, you will not be able to receive the things of God because you're already full. That's where the Bible tells you to empty yourself. Empty yourself before the Lord. Get rid of all those preconceived ideas about what we think God is like. Go ahead, Lance.
And how can you thirst for God's wisdom? I mean, if you are full,
yeah,
you won't be searching for it.
Right. You'll be pretty satisfied with it. Oh, do you know that you can get filled on cotton candy? Right? You can eat it till you're full. You don't want to eat nothing else. Right? But it's not good for you.
Oh, this is a sugar high.
It's a sugar
high.
Yeah. Yeah, and it goes away pretty quick. Guys, it's already a quarter after, and I'm on verse 5. There's 22 of these, and then there's Psalm 111 and Proverbs 117. And that. Really, those other psalms just talk about the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. If you really want to start understanding and gaining the wisdom of God, you need to get the fear of the Lord correct in your mind and in your heart. Really and truly honoring him and fearing him. Because without the fear of the Lord, you can't even begin to suck it up. You're a dry sponge. There's nothing that can get in you. But when you properly fear God and you truly seek his wisdom, you ask for it and you have faith in it, God will fill you. He will fill you so full that your cup will run over. The goodness of God is desiring the wisdom of God. He wants you to know it. He wants you to have the fullness of him, the fullness of his wisdom, the fullness of the knowledge, the fullness of understanding. God's greatest desire is that his people, especially his people, the born-again folks, would know it, that we would shore up the foundations. And again, those seven pillars, that's even a better word than attributes. The seven pillars, the seven spirits of God, the fear of God, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge. The list goes on, and we'll get into them as the Lord allows. If we'll start to grasp this, I mean really get a hold of it, I'm telling you folks, God can do something great in this body.
Amen.
He can do something. God has called us. Eclectic, isn't that what it is? It's not an eclair, it's an eclectic. Eclair is a really sweet and fat name.
Yeah.
But it's an eclectic group. God has brought a lot of weird people here. Right? Hey, I mean, and you're listening to a weird guy. And we're talking weird stuff, and the world does not understand it. But, I mean, we got folks that are coming out of the JW group. We got folks that are coming out of the Catholic group. We got folks that are coming out of the Baptist group. We got people that were Pentecostal. Amen? And the spiritual leading group and all. We got smart, educated people. And we got dumb. No. Sorry. We got all kinds of eclectic people. And God still has a brother.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep, I
got it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and is beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Amen.
We can be dumb,
yes,
but not fools.
Amen. We want to be taught. And again, anytime we think that we know so much we can't be taught nothing else, we've lost the wisdom of God. I know it all. Exactly. We're supposed to come to God empty that he can fill us. I would rather be ignorant. Well, again, Peter and John, when they healed the crippled man outside the temple, and they were chastised, you go through the account there, and they say, I can tell that you are unlearned men, but you've been with Jesus. Amen? I pray that we'd all be unlearned people, but we'd be with you. We'd be with you. We are. Yeah, how you like that? I talk American, not English. We be with Jesus. And so, that would be our heart. Desiring to be with him, desiring to be filled by him, desiring to understand him and know him. desiring to set underneath teaching that glorifies Him from ignorant people. Amen. Not calling you ignorant, brother, but you're as smart as I am, right? Yeah, there's, again, as I said at the start of this, if I were to dive down as deep as I can into the depths of the wisdom of God, I might get this deep in this big of a hole. Right? I'm just barely scratching the surface because I have a not smart mind compared to an infinite God. There's a word I was going to use.
Human.
Amen. A human. I am a human. A human. And so, I love you, folks. And I'm about ready to leave for vacation. See, this is my last hurrah for a couple weeks. I love you. And I want you to have
God. With that said, it's been laid on my heart this whole time that we've been here that we should just send you off with a prayer.
Oh, amen. Do
prayer of protection. Father God, we just raise up Pastor Curtis. What a joy it is to have him here, Father God. Father, we also thank you for the gift of this family together.
Yes. Thank you.
Father God, as he goes on vacation, I ask that you just give him a restful time.
Yes.
He'll be resting in you, Father God. Father, I also ask for a hedge of protection around him, Father.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, I say, have your will with him, mm-hmm. Father.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks. Go home.